Now, intimacy with God, I feel like the Christian, this journey that we are on can be pretty drab without any intimacy with God.
Mm-hmm.
You just become born again, you go to church, we all trot along to the church, you begin to carry on some responsibilities in the church, and that's all there is to it. I believe that the Christian life can be pretty boring if you do not have that close relationship with God. I was looking up, and statistics show that only 1 in 10 pastors will still be in ministry after a certain number of years. Why do we burn out so quickly? Why do we lose our enthusiasm so quickly? I believe one of the main reasons is because we are not that intimate with God. Because why does God set us up to fail? Even the world that manufactures, companies manufacture their products, and these products, they stand the test of time. Even human beings are making their products stand the test of time. How much more God? And so I just want to talk about the benefits of really being intimate with God. You know, there are some things that only God can tell you. As much as the Bible is awesome, you read the Bible, but there are even the Bible, the Holy Spirit has to reveal what the Bible says. And reveals the secrets of his covenants to his friends. And who are these his friends that he's talking about? We think that every born-again Christian is a friend of God. Not necessarily. And so we have to move from just being born again to being intimate with God. And I want to say that one of the benefits, which is very crucial to our longevity in this race, is receiving these revelations from God as a result of intimacy. You know, Jesus tells the disciple, "Who do men say that I am?" And they say, "Oh, some people say you're Elijah, some people say you're John the Baptist, and every kind of thing." And then Jesus turns around and asks them, "What about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter gives an awesome revelation: "You are Christ." And Jesus says, "No man told that to you. Only my Father in heaven revealed that to you." There are things that only God can tell you. And just going to church and just being a normal Christian, it's not going to have God tell you some things that will change your life. We rise in this kingdom by revelation. The Bible talks about there are keys to the kingdom. These keys to the kingdom are the revelations that we receive as a result of staying in the secret place with God. Now, Jesus is the door. When you become born again, you come to the door. But I tell you, many Christians, you can die at the door. The Bible talks about keys to the kingdom. If you were to come into my house, where you would end up probably is a living room. I would have keys to the kitchen, bedroom, and so on. If you wanted to eat, I would have to give you, perhaps if the kitchen is locked, I would have to give you the keys so that you don't die of hunger sitting in the living room. Brothers and sisters, I believe that so many of us Christians, we are at the door. But God wants to give us the kingdom. And we can only receive these keys by having this revelation. And God wants us to have a life that is aligned to what Jesus had. Sometimes we think that this is too wonderful, but we at the same time, we say that Jesus was a man. If Jesus was a man like us, then we can live like Jesus Christ did. The Bible talks about grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God. Many times as Christians, when we have a problem, we don't ask ourselves, what don't I know? First things, we begin to pray, we begin to bombard heaven. We don't ask ourselves, what is it that I don't know that is causing me to have this problem? Because the Bible says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. So every problem we have is a knowledge problem. What is it that I do not know? What don't I know about God that has caused me to have this problem? The Bible says in Colossians 2 verse 3, in him, in Jesus are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Christ. And the Bible says we are in Christ. Every Christian is in Christ, but it is only as we acknowledge these things that these revelations begin to come to us and we become more than conquerors. The Bible talks about the love of God. It says that we may know the length and the breadth, the depth and the height of God's love, so that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Mm-hmm. Can a human being be filled with the fullness of God? What can you become being filled with the fullness of God? I don't know what that does to you, but for me, I can't wrap my mind around being filled with the fullness of God. And what gladdens my heart is, it doesn't say to those who are holy, they'll be filled with the fullness of God. To those who are perfect, as simple as just knowing the love of God. He says, and to know the love of God, to know how much God loves you. Because all we talk about holiness, living right, the starting point is knowing how much love God loves you. To know the love of God so that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, imagine the humility of God. For God to want us to be filled with all of him, not half, to be filled with all of him. And how can all these things take place? Through intimacy with God. How many times do you go on a retreat by yourself? You decide, okay, I am on annual leave. I am not going anywhere. I am going to go on a retreat. I'm going to be with God so that God can show me the direction my life is supposed to go. Mm-hmm. We talk about, oh, I'm just so weak. I'm weak. I'm not able to do it, that I'm not able to understand the Bible. Our problem is not weakness. Our problem is that we are too strong. Our problem is that we are too smart. Mm. Our problem is that we can solve our problems ourselves. Mm. And brothers and sisters, God is looking. I just feel impressed to say this so many times. God is looking for people who are helpless. You do not need any creativity to walk with God. And I'm glad. Oh God, I'm so glad that I don't need creativity. I don't need any kind of intelligence because I would not qualify. I tell God all the time, I say, Lord, I am so happy you are not looking for creativity. If you are looking for creativity, I won't sign up because I don't qualify. God is just looking for somebody who is a zero. You are nothing, so that he can make something out of your life. And then the problem is that we have so many opinions, even like so many pastors preaching on the internet. There is so much wisdom flying around. You know what? When I used to hear this scripture, don't be moved by every wind of doctrine. I used to think it has to be a false doctrine for you not to be moved. But I was listening to a man of God, and I agree with many of the things he said. I believe he's an anointed man of God, but he said something one day that went against what I think God is speaking to me. It's not something that is against a doctrine, a principle in the Bible, but just some personal things that God spoke to me. And he said something that went against that, and I was like, Lord, but I believe you told me something different. And that was when the Holy Spirit told me, don't be moved by every wind of doctrine. Not everything is for you. God, we are unique, and God has called us to different purposes. I remember Pastor Tony saying something about Kenneth Copeland, is it two Sundays ago, that God had called him to preach prosperity. There are some persons whose focus is on holiness, like Bishop Oyedepo in Nigeria, his focus is on faith, and there are so many people that God has called. We are unique. In each of us, we are unique, and God may call us to do a different thing. And so it is only by revelation, only by intimacy with God, that you are able to sift out these things so that you can go on the path. There is individuality in our collective calling. While we are not all going to think alike, we agree, but we are not all going to think alike, because God has different things he wants us to do. Now, for example, the disciples, they failed in their attempt to cast out the demon that was in that boy. And Jesus is coming down the mountain from the Mount of Transfiguration, and the disciples, they are unable to cast this demon out. And Jesus comes and is able to cast the demon out. And then the disciples go back in secret. They must have been embarrassed not being able to cast that demon out. And they went and asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast this demon out? This is supposed to work. These are the intimate moments we are talking about, where you have a problem in your life and you go to Jesus. Why is this thing lingering? What is the problem? So the disciples go to Jesus. Why couldn't we cast this demon out? And Jesus tells them, it's because of your unbelief. Now, that tells us that if you are not intimate with God and receiving revelations from God, people's experiences, people can make a doctrine out of their experiences. If Jesus was not responding to them, if it were like us and they were not able to ask Jesus, the disciples would have made a doctrine out of that incident and said, everybody doesn't get healed. But because they asked Jesus, Jesus was able to tell them, this is what happened. If you do not have a close relationship with God, people, whether pastors, whether elders, people will make a doctrine out of their experiences and you will accept it. So now we know that even if Benny Hinn prays for me and I'm not healed, I know that it can still be God's will for me to be healed, as we see in this example. And so this intimacy that we are talking about, it leads to spiritual growth. I mean, why wouldn't anybody want to be intimate with God? God has put us in this close-knit, elite group with himself. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and me. Mm-hmm. And we share words. Jesus says, I have received words from my Father and I have given it to you. And then Jesus tells us the Holy Spirit will receive from me and give it to you. We are in this close circle. The Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit sharing words. My God, what an intimacy. What a privilege that we are in that mix. Sharing words with God, sharing words with the Holy Spirit. No outside word. Jesus receives from the Father, the Holy Spirit receives from Jesus and gives it to us. My brothers and sisters, what a privilege. We should seek with all our hearts for this kind of intimacy, because this is where life is rich. I can't talk about the joy, the exceeding great joy that comes out from this kind of intimacy. The joy that exudes from your soul. I don't know if you guys know this song. We sing this song in Nigeria. I keep falling in love with you over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with you over and over and over and over again. You get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Is that your experience? Is that your experience with God? You remember the first time you met your spouse. You remember how your heart pulsated when you thought about him or her. Is that out of place with God? Is that out of place with God? And then, if God did not love us that much, I would say that then we couldn't love him. Look at what God says in the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 11, verse 8. This is God speaking to us. He says, and I'm reading from, I think, the Contemporary English Version. God says, how can I give you up, Israel? And you can put your name there. How can I give you up, Israel? How can I abandon you? Could I ever destroy you as I did Admah, or treat you as I did Zeboim? My heart will not let me do it. My love for you is too strong. Brothers and sisters, this is what God is telling us. My love for you is too strong. How can, why wouldn't we be intimate? Why wouldn't you fall on our knees and be intimate with a God like that? I tell you, we should be. And I find another thing that intimacy does is that fear dissipates from your life.
Hallelujah.
Fear begins to go away. You know, the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. And I have experienced this personally in my life. There was a time that, I think I've given this testimony before, there was a time that the fear of death was plaguing me. I felt that I was going to die. I mean, that if I went on the road, that a car was going to hit me, that a stray bullet was going to... I mean, I don't know why, but those thoughts kept constantly. And I said, Lord, deliver me from this fear of death. And I specifically asked God, I said, what scripture? I said, Lord, give me a scripture to get rid of this. And a scripture dropped in my mind immediately, if I perish, I perish. That doesn't sound very encouraging. But that was the scripture that came into my mind. And so every time that fear came to me, I just told myself, if I perish, I perish. I'm trusting in God. Each time the thought came, I quoted that scripture. As long as it came from the Bible, I quoted that scripture. And gradually, that spirit of fear dissipates. And you know, today Pastor Tony has led us in the Holy Communion, and we believe God for long life. We trust God to heal our bodies for us to live long. But you know, I have been thinking, what if God ever called me to be a martyr? I believe for long life, but what if God called me to be a martyr? Like John, it's not out of place. Like John the Baptist, like Stephen. What if he called me? Because I believe that a time will come that some of us may have to give up our lives. And I used to be filled with fear. And I said, Lord, I don't want to die. But, and that is one thing, brothers and sisters, that I spoke about the other time. Tell everything to God. Tell God everything. Because I used to tell God, if you ever call me to be a martyr, I think I would not like it. I would think you don't love me. Tell God everything. Tell God everything. Don't go to God with all these fancy prayers. Go to God and tell him respectfully. Tell him your heart. If you're going to grumble, grumble to God. Don't call your friends and grumble. That can end in gossip. Grumble to God. Tell him everything respectfully. And listen, how God will set your life straight is going to amaze you. So I used to think, what if God called me to be a martyr? But I find that with intimacy with God, the fear of death can dissipate out of your life. And again, we talk about how beautiful heaven is. But I find out that heaven is a beautiful place that most people postpone going. We don't all want to go there now, but it's such a beautiful place, and we sing about how beautiful it is, but nobody really wants to go there now.
Hallelujah.
But I find that with intimacy with God, all that fear is going to dissipate. And I was reading about Peter. You know, Jesus tells Peter, this is how you are going to die. Jesus tells Peter, this is how you're going to die. And Peter says to Jesus, what about John? What about him? Not this John. What about him? And Jesus says, what is that to you? Follow me. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the only person that tells a human being, you are going to die, and he still follows him. Peter follows Jesus knowing, I am going to die. This is a journey of death for me. But he follows Jesus. And when that revelation came to me, I said, Lord, I can trust you. I can trust you. Many of these people that go through persecution and I hear they are being shot, I've heard so many stories of people dying for the gospel. I've never heard any story about people cursing God. I've always heard they are smiling and some soldiers will even drop the guns and want to die with them. And when I see Stephen is saying, is raising his hands into heaven and seeing Jesus seated by the right hand side of the Father. And I'm like, this can only come with intimacy with God. A church-going Christian who just goes to church every day, you're afraid of death. You don't want to die. But with somebody who is intimate with God, the Bible says he works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. God can work anything he wants with you. And with intimacy, fear can dissipate. And I found this scripture, 1 Corinthians 3, 21 to 23, which says, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. When I read that scripture, I found that the Bible says that death is mine. It says whether the world or life or death is mine. And I said, Lord, I don't want death to be mine. I don't want to die. And when I was meditating on that scripture, the Holy Spirit, it's like God was telling me, you had better want death to be yours. Because if death is yours, you have a choice. If death is yours, you have a choice. Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
If death is yours, you have a choice.
Mm.
And from that day, I started glorifying God. Thank you, because death is mine. I have a choice.
Mm.
Paul says, I don't know what to do. I desire to go and be with the Lord, but I also desire to stay here with you. But what am I going to do? I decide I'm going to stay. This is a human being deciding whether he's going to die or not. Paul says, I've decided I'm going to stay. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is the only intimacy can produce this kind of walk with God, where you have a choice. Death is yours.
Yeah.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you can choose. God has given us a choice. You can choose to die. You can choose to live. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that there are those that were offered deliverance and they refused. They refused deliverance.
Mm.
They refused it because they saw that they were going to a better place.
Yeah.
You have a choice.
Amen.
Death
Amen.
Is yours. Mm. This kind of walk with God can only come with intimacy. This is why we should cry for intimacy. We should go into that secret place and be intimate with God. Another thing that intimacy brings is fruitfulness. Intimacy brings fruitfulness, not the other way around. As Christians, we think that fruitfulness brings intimacy. And in our mind, fruitfulness is you go to church, you're an elder, you play the piano, you're a pastor, you do different kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And we busy ourselves with all these works without being intimate with God. Intimacy breeds service, not the other way around. Jesus says, abide in me. First is abiding, and then you bear fruits.
Mm-hmm.
We are so afraid that we would... It's like we are so afraid that we would anger God if we sit down. The Bible says that Jesus is seated. Don't Don't you think that Jesus has things doing? He has the world to save. But the Bible says that Jesus is seated and we are seated in him. Now, we get into these services and we are not close with God. And our fruitfulness, the service does not yield much. Now, I want you to think of this. Jesus started his ministry at the age of 30. What was Jesus doing from age 5? I've seen children, when if you go to YouTube, you see children who are preaching at age 5. It would have been awesome for Jesus to be preaching at age 5. It would have been more spectacular for Jesus to be preaching at age 5. But what is Jesus doing from age 5 to age 30? Jesus does nothing. Don't do that. Stop. Jesus, what is Jesus doing? He does nothing. And guess what? God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well preached. I'm well pleased. Jesus does not preach to anybody. Jesus does not save a soul. Jesus has not healed anybody. This is at the beginning of his ministry. He does nothing. Because we are so afraid. We think that if we sit down, that, I mean, the world is going to go to ashes. But Jesus does nothing from age 5 to age 30. I'm using 5 because 5, I mean, I've heard children who are preaching and talking the gospel from age 5, 6, 7. Many of us here got born again early, and at the age of 17, you can preach, but Jesus does not preach to anybody. But God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. What did Jesus do for the Father to be pleased with him? Jesus is just sitting down in his Father's presence, learning, being intimate with God, reading the Bible, obeying God. He does no service whatsoever. Jesus has only 3 years of ministry and he changes the world. We are so afraid that if we sit down, that God is going to be upset with us. No, God, the Bible says that God called the disciples so that they may be with him first before he sends them out, that they may be with him first and foremost, before he sends them out to go and preach. And so, brothers and sisters, the Bible talks about abide in Christ. Then you will bear fruit. You don't see the branch of the vine screaming to bear fruit. It's just there. It's just there. And, you know, I've been criticized in this because I sit down and I say I'm waiting on God, and I receive criticism for this. And sometimes I've told God, I said, Lord, am I too slow? Is it time? Am I supposed to be doing something and I'm perhaps deceiving myself that I'm sitting here? And I found a scripture. You know, oh, brothers and sisters, I tell you, if you can just be nothing, God will show you things. The book, Mark chapter 1, verse 12 says, and the Holy Spirit pushed Jesus into the wilderness to go and be tempted. The Holy Spirit pushed him. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, if God finds that I am lagging behind, the Holy Spirit can push me into my destiny. The Holy Spirit can push me into fruitfulness. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1 to 2 says, as God spoke to me, as God was speaking to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. Do we not trust God enough that as we sit in God's presence, as we get close to him, as we are intimate with him, the Holy Spirit can push us into fruitfulness? Do we trust God? Or we will get out prematurely from the presence of God and we go into all these services, people become missionaries and God has nothing to do with it. Souls are saved. That there is a need does not mean that you are called to meet that need. Many times God just calls us to sit down. Sit down and learn from me first. I was listening to Billy Graham, and they asked him towards the end of his life, they asked him, what did you have any regrets? And he, one of the things he said that the regret he had was that he didn't sit down more and read the Bible. He said that much of the crusades that he organized were unnecessary, that he did not believe that God called him to do much of those. He said much of it was useful, that most of it he shouldn't have done it. And I've also heard, I think he is the same Billy Graham, don't quote me on this, but he was asked, if you had 3 years to live, what would you do if you had 3 years to live, considering preaching the gospel? And he said, knowing what I know now, if I had 3 years to live, I will spend 2.5 years in God's presence and 6 months of ministry. But most of us will do it the other way around. If we have 3 years to live, we would get up, we would begin to organize crusades, we have to win the world. Not necessarily. What are you going to say? The Bible says Jesus was in the wilderness, and after the Holy Spirit had pushed him into the wilderness, the Bible says Jesus came in power. He came up with the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee. There is benefit instead. That's not to say that we don't go out and preach the gospel. I'm talking about priority. I'm talking about priority. You abide in God's presence and you will bear fruit. And then also, intimacy with God makes sure that you know why God created you. And I don't want any show of hands, but you just think in your mind, God created me for a purpose. Am I living that purpose? Is there a reason, a specific reason that God allowed me to come to earth? Is there a specific reason God let me come to earth? And am I fulfilling that specific purpose? You can never stumble into God's will for your life. You don't stumble into God's will. You seek God's will for your life purposefully. You don't stumble into it. You don't enter into it by mistake. Oh, you just stumbled. No, it has to be that intimacy with God. God will begin to give you something bigger than your money. For most of us, we can solve the dreams we have. If you can do it without seeking God, God is probably not in it. Because God will give you something bigger than you. God will give you something that you have to seek him. And I know that in this church, the age group is quite advanced. And many of us, we now have our grandchildren. we now have our grandchildren. And we are like, all of this purpose of God, it really doesn't. It's not for me. It's for maybe somebody who is younger. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. You may think, I've achieved what I have achieved in life, and I don't think God really has anything. But you have to ask yourself, is there a reason God brought me to earth? Is there a particular reason? Because you may be fulfilled, but God, I just read about Hosea 11 verse 8. And God loves us and had a reason for you being here. And if you're not fulfilling that reason, it doesn't please God that he called you for a specific purpose and you're not fulfilling that. And in case you're thinking, oh, I hadn't found God's will early enough in life and now it's late, that's not true. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Jesus spoke a parable about how the kingdom of God, he said the kingdom of God is like a man who went and hired in the first hour. He hired servants and he agreed to pay them one penny for the day. In the sixth hour, he went and hired more servants and he said, I'm going to pay you what I think is right for you. In the 11th hour, he went and hired more servants. In the 11th hour, just 1 hour for the close of work, in the 11th hour, he hired more servants. And at the end of the workday, they thought, Those that were hired at the first hour thought, I'm going to get much more. If those that he hired at the 11th hour just got a penny, I'm going to get much more. But Jesus gives everybody the same. Brothers and sisters, do you think you're at the 11th hour of your life? God can do something. God is so loving. God is merciful. God can blow your mind.
Hallelujah.
God can do something with the 11th hour of your life.
Amen.
And you'll be amazed. And God can do something so much you will wonder, could it have been better? Brothers and sisters, do you know that David was not God's first choice? David was a second choice. Saul was God's first choice. David was never a first choice. David was a second choice. But look at the life of David, brothers and sisters. Do you think that this is a second chance? You might have missed it. Saying, I can make something out of your life. I can use you, whether with your grandchildren, I can make you a miraculous grandmother. I can make something out of your life. Brothers and sisters, you don't have any excuse. Jesus hired people at the 11th hour and he showed them his grace, his love. You don't have any excuse. You can be all that God calls you to be. And so I am praying that God will help us so that we can draw and be intimate with him. You know, I want to impress this. Brothers and sisters, be helpless. Be helpless. I want to repeat this. Be helpless before God. You know, the Bible says we are the light of the world, not the light of God. We are the light of the world. When I go to my Father, I am without wisdom. I am dark. I said, Lord, light me up. I don't have any wisdom. I'm a little girl. I don't know what I am doing. Lord, please help me. Lord, fill me. But when I get out of that secret place into the world, I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me. But when before my Father, I am nothing. But when I get up from that place, I am more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
So, brothers and sisters, our God is good. I was asking God, I said, what is the one thing that made you stick with the disciples? Because when I looked at my life, I failed so often. I was in the flesh so often. And I'm saying, can God ever stick with me? And God opened my eyes to the disciples. And I'm like, God, these people were just like me. They are jostling for position. They are faithless like Thomas. These are the people that Jesus tells them, spend 1 hour with me, and he comes back and they're asleep. But Jesus sticks with them, and I'm like, Lord, what is the one thing that the disciples did for you to stick with them? Because these are imperfect men. And the Holy Spirit told me the one thing they did consistently was follow. They followed. They followed. They never stopped following. Even though they are making foolish decisions, they tell Jesus, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and consume all these people? You know, the disciples followed. They never asked questions. Jesus led. But the only opportunity Jesus gave them for them to make a suggestion, they said, you want us to call fire down and consume all these people? The only thing they made mistakes, but the only thing they did was follow. And I said, Lord, that I can do. I can wake up every morning and show you my helplessness. I can show up in my mind. I can think about you as imperfect as I am. That's what God is looking for. He's the one that's going to change you anyway. So brothers and sisters, I just hope that God has spoken to you today and that God will help us to be this intimate so that we can be all that God wants us to be. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.